Welcome to the Pivot Shift Ahead Mastermind. It's your friend James Shaw. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for choosing to spend time with us as we talk about ideas and strategies to help you succeed in today's market. That's what we do every day inside of Pivot Shift Ahead, and I'm glad that you're a part of it. Today, I'm excited because one of my friends is hosting for me. She is so smart. She's so talented. She's elite. It's Leah McCann. Leah, take it away.
I'm glad to be here. It's been a while. James is traveling as he is in this season, so we're super excited that he gets to pour into all of us. So with this new format, as you guys know, we always take a topic from something somebody shared on the Pivot page. So thank you for asking questions. And then at the top of the hour, we're going to go into, if you have your All It Takes is a Goal book. If you don't, it's totally okay. I'm going to read just a small little section that we're going to go to. However, here is what we're going to talk about this morning, because the amazing, I had to pull it up real quick, Marielle Calderon, she asked a question: once under contract, what system do you use to stay updated with all the contract dates when you have a few transactions at the same time? So we're going to kind of talk about that. And I want to hear from people who have maybe are newer to the business, as well as those of you that have been in the business for a while, not necessarily like the type of software that you use, or maybe not just say I use a transaction coordinator, maybe talk about something that's tried and true that you have seen has impacted the process. Because if you remember yesterday, James shared that what 15 to 22% here in Southwest Florida of contracts are going back on the market, right? They're falling apart. And so we can talk about communication between agents, but I'm thinking, what else could we be doing? What's a system? What's a touch? What are we doing once we go under contract? So essentially, under contract, now what? So I'd love to hear from you guys. I knew Orly was going to raise her hand because she's done this for a very, very long time. And Jessica Poling, I thought you would be the first one. All right, Orly, what are you doing when a deal goes under contract that you feel is really making an impact?
So good morning, everybody. The thing that I've been doing for 30 years is every Monday morning, whether I was a solo agent or with a team, I go over the top producer report of all the transactions, my actives and my under contracts. So we go over literally every single person and we see where they are in the queue. It's like having 10 children. Not all of them need your attention today, but sometimes there are weeks that people need more of your attention than others. So if somebody's on hold, we're just waiting for a mortgage commitment, it's like, okay, you're in a good place. We just communicate that to them. Somebody needs a new septic, we now help them, you know, guide them through that process. So by having a meeting with yourself or with your team every Monday morning, you know exactly how to navigate the week and who needs you most.
I love that. Yes, it takes a collaborative effort, right? And it keeps you as the top agent on top of your business. We always say you have to inspect what you expect. So it's one thing to just pass it off and be like, oh, it's got the TC on it. No, your DNA is on that. You're part of that client experience and you want to make sure it's constantly being refined. So thank you for sharing that. Adrienne Bailey.
Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to share. So what I do, whether I have a TC or not, when I get under contract, I send a letter to all parties with all parties listed and all of the pertinent dates. So that, and I attach the purchase and sale agreement and any other documents that they might need so that everybody is aware. And if they don't agree with the dates, they can let me know up front, but that way everybody knows. And then I contact everybody on Tuesday. So they know that when Tuesday rolls around, I'm going to give them an update at the very least. So I think the letter really helps, and I highlight those dates, and then I make sure that anything that my client needs. So like if I'm on the buy side, I'm going to make sure that they get their inspectors, that they are referred a couple of people that they can choose from. And I always also let them know that even if I refer somebody, you can choose anybody you want to, so that it doesn't fall back on me in the event something less than positive occurs.
Yes, I love that you shared that, because that was actually one of the piece of her specific question is, how do you manage the dates? So what I'm hearing, and I'm very confident the majority, right, use some sort of contract timeline. And I would encourage you, if you have a specific checklist, if it's an Excel spreadsheet, if it's a PDF or something that's editable, put that in the Facebook page so that agents that maybe haven't already created a checklist, or maybe somebody who's refining their checklist, can go back in. Because the truth is, everything we do has already been ripped off and reproduced by somebody else.
And Leah,
go ahead. Yes.
The other thing I do is I have a paper folder that I put together. I punch holes. I clip everything so nothing falls out of my folder. And I have a contract close sheet, both for buyers and for sellers. And even if I have a TC doing it, I keep track of it myself and I write that in, and I've got a paper copy that I can carry with me. I can look at it, not super heavy. And if I can figure out how to upload it, I will, because I've got it for both. And I've added to it over the years for the dates that are important to me to watch.
So that's probably the least surprising. How many of you are surprised that Adrienne Bailey carries around a notebook that has hole punches in it? I just feel like I can see you with your cute glasses carrying around your under contract folder. I love it. Old school works. Old school absolutely works. All right, Jessica. Jessica.
Yes.
Jessica. We just need to clone her. Can you imagine if we just had whatever 588 Jessicas on here?
Yeah, everybody'd have market share. So thanks for letting me share, Leah. I actually started as the transaction coordinator for Tulio and the team 5 years ago. So that's where I got my real estate bit, sunk my teeth into, got my experience in the very first system I ever built. And so we have since outsourced our TC. She runs our same system with improvements, but it's kind of a combination of Orly and Adrienne. When they go under contract, I have a Google file. So when they go under contract, our agents notify, they fill out the Google file. That way, if it's 10 o'clock at night, 6 o'clock in the morning, over the weekend, everybody in the team is notified of that under contract, so that the transaction coordinator can make contact in the first 24 hours and introduce everybody in the entire transaction to everybody else in the entire transaction. So that's one of the things that we add. And then we run all of our deadlines and phases in command opportunities so we can see where they are in the transaction. She runs all the lists. Either the agent or the transaction coordinator is in contact with that client every 2 or 3 days, where they are, what's the update, what are we working on. All of the email traffic is CC'd for basically everybody that's involved in that transaction. And then we have a standing Tuesday meeting. It's actually here about an hour once this call is done. And our TC opens up the command opportunities dashboard, and we drive through every single transaction, where it's at, what it needs, what's not signed, what's going on, what needs to be scheduled. And then the agents spend the rest of Tuesday in Legion calling all of the transactions, making sure the clients are all on the same page. And I keep a master spreadsheet transaction file of all the GCI, all the volume, all the closing dates. Are there post-closing occupancies? Is it a POA? Is it a remote mail out? What's the splits and everything like that? And that file controls the whole entire environment.
So amazing. There's a system to this. There's one thing you said that stood out, because Orly also mentioned this. And again, if you are a solo agent, there is somebody in your market center that it can assist you with this. And the truth is, you really should have a transaction coordinator. James will say no agent should ever process paperwork, and I believe that wholeheartedly. What you said that Orly said is you've got a standing meeting. You are reviewing the deals every single week. It's not just somebody else is reviewing the deals. You, as obviously the leadership, and then your agents are reviewing a deal. So you're in the file, so you still feel like you have a pulse on it. So yes, I love that. Thank you so much, Jessica. Luis Weiss, what do you have as far as under contract now, what that's really making a difference?
Well, to all of the predecessors before me for this answer, and we do that. I just wrote down here, we have the introduction email that has the contractual dates, the party contact information, and it adds the documents, right? We have, with those contractual dates, we translate those or transfer those into the calendar. So we have them on the calendar. And we have Touch Base Tuesday, where we communicate with our clients the status of everything. And then we have all of the communications have the property address, and I use a text replacement for the property address, so that, let's say it's 123 Main Street, the text replacement would be 123 MS. So whenever I text you, Leah, it's hi, Leah, and then regarding 123 MS. And this way, on my text, I can easily find it. On my emails, I can easily find it. It's just a consistent method. And I am just, I wish that Command would have the ability to translate the contractual dates in their program onto our calendar automatically. That would be my wish list for Christmas.
So, okay, I love that. And you can also make sure you make that suggestion in Labs. I think it's there. So when you go, smash the like button so they know that that's actually something you're really interested in. Because I know that that is something they're working on. Thanks. The other thing you mentioned is a system for labeling. So how we label our transactions that we can find them. Sometimes when we create opportunities in Command, or if you're using any other software, create consistency around how you're tracking your business. And if you're going to use a specific name, like you said, and the property address, whatever it is, I think it's really important to do that. So thank you for sharing that. Shannon Dixon, what up, girl?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Good, good. So I do a lot of the same stuff the people prior to me do. Luis, I love that labeling system. I might have to implement that one. Just to add on for each phase of, you know, so coming into home inspections, right now I'm making a phone call to my clients just to kind of go over all of that. Part of my process around inspections too is to make sure I call the listing agent and make sure all utilities are turned on, or if it's my seller and it's a vacant home, make sure all the utilities are on. But I always do like a phone call to my client a day or two before the activity, or we're coming into the next stage of the transaction, to just go over what to expect and potential outcomes, and just kind of, you know, prepare them, especially around the inspections.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you. I appreciate you sharing that. Karina, what are you doing under contract?
Okay. So, well, I have a huge wall system that I use. I have a big window on one side. I have my 3-month calendar. And then if anybody is on contract getting ready, I have my big board. So that's what I have. But I also use Command. I use Command, they just had an upgrade in Command where the information page that is easier to fill in. So I go into my Command and I fill in all the dates, like where they are in the process. That's what I do. I also do the labeling of my transactions with the address, so it's easier to find emails. So that is basically what I do. And then I contact, you know, my people once a week to update them on where we are, what we're doing.
I love that.
Command's my big thing.
Well, Clark said Windows 101. Hey, listen, the fundamentals have never been outdated. We used to draw on whiteboards or the vis-a-vis markers on the little screen projectors back in the day. So we can still use that. It's wonderful. And then Julie, you put something in the chat that I think is really important. She said she drops the ball all the time, reminding my clients to schedule to turn on or off utilities. That is such an important extra touch. And so right above that, for those of you that are thinking, well, I don't know that I do anything super fancy, I'm curious if there is one thing that you do during the transaction that has absolutely wowed the other agent, the attorney, the lender, gosh, even your client, if they come back and say, I am so thankful you thought of that, or I'm so thankful for this call, or in your review, they mentioned something specific throughout the transaction. I'd love to hear what those things are, because we could all implement that in ours. Tony, what's going on, Tony? Are you walking and talking?
I am not out walking today because it's rainy cold here, and I'm waiting for my HVAC guy because my furnace went out. So I am stuck in the house this morning, but I'm pacing around the house. And I want to answer your last question first and then backtrack. I recently started, instead of sending a PDF of the utility information to my client to get them to switch over, I recently started sending an email with links to the service providers, the phone number to the service provider, so that all they have to do is click on it. And it's, I've got it one big template, and I take out, like, I'll delete out the service providers that aren't appropriate for that property, so that I'm not creating a new email every time. And they really seem to like that. But to the original question, I'm glad Karina mentioned the windows, and you just mentioned whiteboard. I hadn't heard anybody say it, but I still use my whiteboard because when I'm sitting at my desk and somebody says, hey, when is due diligence up? I don't have to click around or look for it. I just look to my left and there are those dates. But all of that starts for me, like so much else, with the consultation. Right at my buyer consultation or my listing appointment, I let the clients know that, hey, just because we're under contract doesn't mean you bought a house. You've got a long way to go from contract to close, because I don't want buyer's remorse or seller's remorse to set in the minute they go under contract. And when we go under contract, the client, the list, the closing attorney, the other agent, everybody gets an email with all the important dates. And the very first line of that email always says, congratulations, you've taken an important first step, but there's still a long way to go before you can safely say the home is yours. And then I include all the important dates and all the next steps. But the whiteboard, that email outlining those important dates, even with those, every once in a while, when there are multiple things flying at me and I'm starting to feel overwhelmed, I will pull out a piece of scrap paper, 8.5 by 11. I turn it sideways or landscape. And I will write in different boxes the name of the client or the property. And so there might be 8 different contracts flying around my desk at the same time. Under each of those addresses or client names, mm-hmm. I've got the most pressing tasks for each of those, so I can see at a glance, okay, I can knock this out, I can knock this out, I can knock this out. And that helps me when I am completely overwhelmed.
I love it. And that's also too, Tony, what you said is it helps you as you're building your business. If you're a solo agent and you're really tracking these things, it might seem pretty heavy in the minute. It's going to be how you grow your team. And you're going to start to know, what are the tasks that I need to leverage because they're not in my 80%. But if you're just not aware of the things that go on during the transaction, it's kind of like we put blinders on and just fly by the seat of our pants and wonder why deals are falling apart. So I love that, Tony. All right, Melissa, what are you doing under contract that's making a difference?
Melissa Martin. There's always a couple. Okay. Hey, good morning, everybody. So we do a lot of the same things that everybody has spoken about. One of the things that was a game changer for us was we created a link for the agents on our team, and me included, that when we go under contract, we do a Google intake form, and that triggers our director of operations and our transaction manager. And then I do an email kickoff, and that email, I do an email to the agent on the other side introducing my team and asking them to use that same thread for all correspondence, so we're not getting onesie twosie emails everywhere. And then, I've been in contact with the agent, so I talked to the agent to introduce myself. We put the important dates in that, and then I do a kickoff with the client and include my team and introduce them, and my TC gets started on everything. But one of the things we do that has made a big difference in our reviews is that my director of operations makes a call on the, like, 2 days after we go under contract to congratulate them and tell them how much we're looking forward to working with them and remind them what everybody's role is. And then she creates a text message with all of us and names it the property address and asks that all communication regarding the property go into that text message. And then on Tuesdays, I contact everybody and give them the link to my calendar to schedule a call with me on Wednesday to talk about anything that they may have if it's not urgent. So it's just a great way to set boundaries so your phone's not constantly ringing. You're not getting a ton of little onesie-twosie text messages, and your team is also supporting you if you have a team.
I love the end of that, too, where you said it's how do you prevent the constant texts or the emails or the, oh, what about this? What about this? You address it all up front. And there's one thing my coach back in 2013 said is never end an email or a conversation without saying, here's what happens next.
Yes.
And so then you set the tone of, hey, here's what happens next now that we're under contract. Here's what happens next now that we're, it was just such a powerful line that changed the conversation because you're basically just guiding them. So I love that you shared that. All right, Rhonda, it's good to see you. What are you doing when you go under contract?
Well, the first thing, I'm going to put Jessica Pullig on the spot, because when it was time, James said, don't get yourself a TC. I said, all right, let's do it. And Jessica was kind enough to set up a call with me. And I didn't get myself a Jessica, but I got myself a Brittany. And what we do is when we go under contract, basically that contract is uploaded within her intake sheet that has the agent on the other side, the closing attorney, all of the the lender stuff. And then at that point, she sends out introductions to attorneys, the other agent on the other side, to the client, sends out every deadline that needs to be met, financial, appraisal, inspections, all of the things that we do here, all of that stuff goes out and it's on my calendar. So realistically, all I've got to do, if I have a question or a gut check I need, refer to that calendar. I think I also do a whiteboard. I also do a folder for each client, buyer, seller. Each has a specific color. I think the other piece too is once you go under contract, at least for buyers and for sellers, I'd make them understand this person is not there to replace me. They're going to help us. So it's just another person to the team. And I don't remember the gentleman's name who said it. That is reviewed in the consultation for both buyers and sellers. She is there to help us. You'll never meet her if she's just there to help us. So I think she's part of it. But I think the other piece too is they also just need to know, are you being replaced? And it's no. And then, with active, listings and active buyers, of course, we're still in contact with them as well. But with my active listings, I found out I had a gap and I was not following up appropriately with them. So every Monday they get an email from me, showings we've had, open house feedback, the plans for the next week. If we need to do price adjustments, that could be introduced in that particular email to go ahead and get them thinking about it. But I think, again, that system has served me very, very well. So Jessica, I need to thank you for that, for starting that.
That is the power of this community. And what I heard is, if you can't have a Jessica, get yourself a Brittany.
That's right.
Love it. All right. We've got quite a few hands up. We're going to get you all in because I want to hear what you're doing. Arlene, you are up next, my friend.
Good morning, everyone. So as far as what everyone has said, I don't want to repeat, but there are a lot of steps that I do as well that have already been mentioned. But in each phase on command, I have checklists that are built in, and it's like a template. It goes into every buyer, seller, whatever that I'm using. And once you go under contract, in each stage, I have checklists that go out, and some I do have it set that it can be automatic updates, and I'm having the conversations, but I'm also documenting, and those documentations are being automatically sent out what they're doing. As far as, like, I give the sellers a list and I'll send it to, if I'm on the buy side, I send it to the listing agent in a template form that she can then copy, because most people are like, wow, this is great with all the utility and service providers that the current sellers are using. Whether the buyer chooses to use them or not, at least they know who has serviced things in the past. Also, with the automatic updates, you get to under contract, you need to have, in New Jersey anyway, you need to have a certificate of occupancy. So I do that whole procedure and I make sure they know where to get the link for that and all the requirements of it. So everything is very organized and I can't forget anything. And then I can check it off. And once you put that check mark in it, that's when the automatic email goes out to the client.
Love it. There's so much power in automation, yet we'll never remove the human element of the transaction. Right. So fantastic.
That's why I still do the calls as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Love it. All right. Kelly and Tally.
Okay. So good morning. I have a board and it's a progress board and it has things all the way across the top. It has who I need to be following up with. Has my A, B, and C people. It has the closings I've had and what I still need. And it's a board that I can look at each and every day so that I'll know. So my actual what's under contract, the day that we go under contract, either myself or my director of operations, we send out an after the contract checklist. And it says, this is who you are. This is what's happening. But that's the same exact form that I use when I do my buyer consultation. So they know from the very moment that we begin what's going to happen the day that we find the right house, we go under contract. They know all of it. They know dates. They know who the inspectors are that I recommend. They already know it, so that when we go under and I say, hey, your contract's been accepted, let's look at that checklist. Who do you want? I'll make the appointment so I can make sure that either myself or Hannah can be there. So I love my board. It's been helpful.
Love it. And somebody asked if you dropped the board in the chat. Listen, for all you left-handers like me, dry erase boards are not our friend. We need to figure out how to write backwards or like have a little shelf that holds our hand off. Josie's like, I'll get you. All right, we're going to get you guys in. Let's go. Rapid fire. What'd you say, Kelly? Sorry.
The board is actually made of glass and everything is behind it. It makes, I don't have to erase other things. It's just all there. And I made it.
I love it. All right, Christine, what are you doing under contract?
Hi, good morning. So I'm doing a lot of the same things that people are doing on there. But one thing that I would add is a dehumidifier. A lot of people tend to take their dehumidifiers before if they move out of the house early, and it causes a problem. They don't realize how important those are, so then all the mold starts growing. So leave the dehumidifiers. It's only $200 or $300, and that's it. So it's on the utility list. Thank you.
Love it. Yes, there's things that are market specific for you guys. All right, Erica.
So you asked for something that kind of wowed the other side or just people involved. And if I ever find out that the buyer is actually pregnant before going to contract and then we have this set up, if they need to leave, like go out on maternity leave early, can they still qualify for the mortgage? Can their significant other qualify for the mortgage? So that really prevents fallout. And I also put in the contract, and it's happened where like the buyer was no longer able to work. And then the closing happened because we actually had a plan B. And then one other thing is that we make sure when they're purchasing a co-op in the contracts is written that the buyer, this is a very difficult property to sell. You have to be an expert to kind of do that. And there's a lot of rejections if people aren't thorough enough in our area. And I actually put it in the contracts that the buyer's agent is required to provide me the application as well as access their buyer to prep them for the board interview. And that's not something most people do. And we don't allow the application to be submitted until I get final approval on it.
Got it. Love it. All right. We have one more, Latoya. And then Vicki, you can get us live and give me the thumbs up when we are ready to rock and roll.
Good morning. So I'll be quick, but of course I have a process. When we first go under contract, whether it's buyer or seller, we send out a welcome email. We tell the buyer, we tell the buyer what to expect and give them their due diligence information. The seller, we tell them what to expect as well. Like we remind them that the deal is not done and our sign needs to stay in the yard because we've had that problem before. A day or two later, we will send out a transaction timeline sheet, and that has dates, deadlines, purchase price for everyone, and deposit amounts. And we also send out a utility sheet. Whether we represent the buyer or the seller, we will get the utilities for them so they will know up front. But at the end, we give it to them again, just so they know. And then right before closing, we send out a closing email to either the buyer or the seller, letting them know dates, the walkthrough times, and
awesome.
And we remind the sellers to shut off utilities.
Perfect.
So it's a process.
Thank you, Latoya. All right. Good morning, everybody, and welcome. This is the Pivot Shift Ahead Mastermind call. We are glad that you are here. My name is Leah McCann. It is always an honor and a privilege to be able to host this call and spend some time with you. And first of all, I just want to say thank you for showing up. You could be anywhere else this morning, and yet you're choosing to be here. And it's going to be a good day because it is Gratitude Tuesday. Thank you, Bree, for bringing gratitude to a day each week that we can carry throughout. And so today we're going to be in this little book, just a small blurb from it. which is All It Takes Is a Goal by John Acuff. He is my BFF. He's really James's BFF, and by nature, he's all of our BFFs. However, before we do that, we always start off with a few tell me something good. So who's got something to share this morning? Miss Nicole.
Good morning. I just wanted to share over the weekend, I had my fourth annual Barktoberfest. The event, thankfully, the weather was amazing. I had 45 dogs at the event and twice the amount of people. All the vendors were really happy and it was a great day. And I want to give you a shout out, my good friend and amazing coach, for always keeping me in line. And this systems was, this was fire this morning. So really, really happy about it. We need to talk about that on Monday.
Love it. Yes. Proud of you. And if you've ever wanted to do anything with dogs, I mean, it's just an amazing thing of what she does. And the truth is, it's in her strength zone. So it works. All right, we're going to get Luis and we're going to get Lisa and then we're going to get after it.
This will be short and sweet. I just came back from attending the first, for me, the first KW Luxury Symposium. It was in our backyard here in Palm Beach Gardens at PGA National. It was amazing. And I'm, wow, so impressed. By the way, two of our speakers are speakers that James has had. Thought that was kind of cool.
Yes, it was wonderful. I saw the photos. I can't wait to hear more about what happened there. All right, Lisa, we are on to you.
Thank you, Leah. I just wanted to share something. We just had a family reunion on Saturday, and I did something new yesterday during my lead gen. I wrote thank you notes to family members that I only see once a year, thanking them for coming. And we're going to start doing a meetup cousin luncheon that I'm going to put together. I live near the Dallas area, and it's sad that we live this close to each other and only see each other once a year. So I'm going to just start a family cousin luncheon and see if we can do more with family instead of just see each other once a year. But this came from this group because just reaching out and seeing each other once a year when you have family this close is sad. So thank you guys for helping me step out of the box and talk to cousins more than just once a year and do something that I wasn't comfortable doing. So if you are thinking about doing something uncomfortable, just do it because it felt so good. And I listened to people at the family reunion, called them, wrote notes, and let them know how grateful I was to be part of this great extended family. So, and put a smile on people's faces yesterday when I called them because they weren't expecting it. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much, guys, for helping me do that.
Lisa, you just reminded us the power in the care call. And I think this community, the Pivot community, is impacting generations. And sometimes it's the generation that exists within our own blood family. And so I commend you for taking action and for doing that. And I know it's just going to pay dividends to those that you love. All right, a couple of announcements. First of all, as you guys know what's happening over Jamaica and our coastal islands, I would just ask you, if you're the praying folk, please pray for our families down there, for our KW communities, that we know that that is going to impact so many people. And as somebody who's walked through a crazy storm, I can't help but say that is the one thing that we can be doing now. And I know James is going to lead us into jumping into action. Next, we have Advance coming up in literally less than 2 weeks. James posted a little video about it. There are still tickets. If you live anywhere within driving distance, you need to be there. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be just, I think, exactly what we need to close out this quarter and prepare for the 2026 year. Plus, John Acuff's going to be there. Well, there's a lot of really cool people that are going to be there, but I love my Boston friend. Next, James is doing a webinar tomorrow because Wednesday, we have found, is the best day to do a Wednesday webinar. So James is actually practicing what he preached, and he's hosting a Wednesday webinar with James Shaw. And it's going to be what's worked and what's next. And I'll drop the link in the chat, but you can always just go to jamesdshaw.com/Wednesday webinar. So I would highly encourage you, please be on there tomorrow at 2:00. It's going to be fantastic. So here's kind of what we're talking about today. On Sunday, James asked the question about the 66 days. And he said, with that many days left in the year, what is one thing that you're going to do? And a lot of us went back and forth with, hey, this is a goal, this is a habit. And we posted all kinds of things. And then yesterday we kind of unpacked that and said, there is a difference between a goal and a habit that allows you to reach your goal. And the truth is, we're so outcome focused in this industry. We talk about it all the time. It's like, hey, what did you do? How many deals? Blah, blah, blah. That we naturally go to an outcome when it comes time to say, what are the things that we're actually doing every day? So then James yesterday ended the call saying, what's a one habit? What's something that you're going to do today? And then last night he doubled down on that and said, tell me, what is the one habit? And I just so happened to be reading this amazing book. And I want to share with you what John Acuff said about this. He said, we have massive goals that we know take small steps, but how do we translate big dreams into micro actions? That's the gap where most people give up. Most people find it impossible to break a huge hope into daily deeds. Most people find it difficult to turn potential into a goal, but we're not most people. We're going to accomplish that goal by going back down the goal ladder. And he refers to the goal ladder as like building. What is it that you want to accomplish? What's the outcome? And in order to get to the outcome, you have to figure out what is the process? How can we become process focused? So with that in mind, I kind of wanted to unpack that based on what you've heard the last 2 days, the challenge that James gave us yesterday. What is one small repeatable action that you are committed to doing between now and the end of the year? And twofold, if you have made a change in your business, whether it's the last month, 3 months, 6 months, maybe it's the last year, and you've implemented one small habit that you said, wow, this absolutely changed my business this year, we want to hear from you too. So what's one small habit that you're committed to, a micro action, and or what is something that you've been doing? And my hope is that those of you that are like, I don't even know where to begin, Leah, I feel like it's so much to bite off, that you're in a state of paralysis, maybe you pick one thing that somebody shares today and just take it and run with it. Uncle Dean, you're up first.
Right. Leah, good job. Great job. Thanks for the opportunity to let me share. Two things. It's a two-part process. Number one, we've talked about this many times before, always prepare for the following day the night before. And adding to that, one of the things you have to do is pull your call list for the following day. And number one is put a red circle around the first person that you're going to call the following day. Just put a red circle around it. Think of that person. Know what you're going to say. Not necessarily write out a script, but know what you're going to say. And that's the person you're going to call. So the next morning you get up and you're ready to make your calls. We start that here around 8 o'clock Chicago time. And that's the first person we're going to call. So you got to take the first step. Now, sometimes that person is a difficult call. Sometimes that person is an easy call. But you know who it's going to be, and you can mentally prep for that. The longest journey begins with the very first step. And if you do that, it'll get easier. Hey, it was not too bad. Next, 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 next. Continue on until you get one. Until you get a listing appointment or a buyer's agency appointment. Thanks for letting me share.
I love that. Rico, you've mastered this year, my friend. What do you want to share?
Man, what's going on? It's a terrific Tuesday. We're going to have a big day today. Man, my biggest thing is consistency. I mean, I'm big on that right now, just really going after it. I've been really focused on FSBOs and expireds. So just for me, before the year ends, just doubling down on the work, putting it all in every single day. And I do what Uncle Dean said. I do prepare the night before, so I have the list ready to go. And then just finishing off the open houses like I have. So working 7 days a week until the year ends, and then starting off 26 even stronger.
So Rico, I love that. Can we dial it in and say, what is the habit, instead of saying going all at it? Like, what's one thing that you can say, I wake up and I do this every single day?
Lead generate. Like, I'm heading to the office right now, and every single day I start at 8:30 and I go all the way to 1 o'clock every single day. I don't leave my office. I don't go take breaks. I don't take lunch. I don't do any showings. All client activities are all in the afternoon.
Love it. Rico, you're building something. And here's what I want you to hear. If that is not if maybe you don't have the same goal, please don't compare yourself, right? That is the thief of joy. It'll ruin everything. What he is trying to just say is he's got a mission. Man is on a mission. Man don't eat. Man don't go to the bathroom. He is on a mission. Yet it's the activity and the commitment that he is choosing to not let get in the way. So I love that, Rico. Lainey Lane, what is your small habit? What are you committed to?
Well, good morning, my fellow Boston girl. I'm headed there next week. I decided to put myself first and I got a coach. That was first and foremost. And that is what keeps me consistent is my coach. Now, do I waver all the time? 100%. But the one thing that I do consistently is I get up, I talk to him weekly. I have accountability weekly with him. And then I lead generate. It may not be what everybody else lead generate is, but it's mine. Like I'm in a lot of different groups and those groups are my lead generating. And that took a big mind shift for me, a huge mind shift, because like I thought lead generate meant sitting at my desk and doing nothing. But when I'm going to my activities, to my bird group, to my Kiwanis group, when I'm going to these groups, to my dog walking group, when I go to these things, that's my lead generate. And I don't go in there like, hey, I'm a realtor, who can I help? It's a slow burn for me. And that's how I like to do it. And I also consistently door knock my farms. That's consistent.
Yes. So if you hear nothing today, lead generation is personal to you and it is not... it is not somebody else's journey. I think lead generate means just do what you love to do every day and connect with people. That's it. It's super simple. Thank you for sharing that. Brianne, what are you doing? What's one little habit?
Good morning. This year has been my best year since 2021, which is crazy. And one thing that has changed that is getting really purposeful with other agents within my office. We are not competing against each other. We're there to help each other. And we formed a team without being a team to some extent, where if I'm out of town, I have somebody I can call. If I have a question, we have a group chat. We have the KW ladies, then we've got the whole mastermind. And in fact, we're meeting at 11 today. And it's just been really helpful to have that additional group of feedback of local people who know what's going on, because it's so hyper local. And while we have this amazing group that James has created for us here, it's also nice to know that we've got people to count on, and we're doing events together. I mean, it's just sharing expenses and doing things together. And again, we're in the same exact market and we're not competing, and it's great.
Yep. Collaboration happens at the top, and that is where high level leaders like everybody on this call, that's where we live. So I love that. So for those of you, maybe you're just popping on, we're kind of talking about the habit, right? James challenged us to go get into action and do something. And then John Acuff said, it's just micro habits, micro actions that get us to where we want to go. So the question today is, what's the one micro action? What's the one small habit that you are committed to between now and the end of the year? Elaine, you're up.
Okay. I don't know if you guys can hear this, but there's this little tiny app on your phone, and I'm one of those, I love checklist kind of things. Sometimes I'm in a checklist, but I find my best actions are done when I put all my little tasks in it and I review them. And there's this little app on your phone that's free that you can get. It's called Tick Tick. And Liz, I don't know if you can hear this, but it will say, oh, it goes ding. You can't hear it, but it goes ding. Anyways, okay. It gives me great joy. So I've been putting all the five lead gen, like the five database calls, the five old leads, and I put it all in there. And if I review it at the end of the day or at the beginning of the day, it makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. So that's my commitment to all of you guys for the next 66 days. I'm going to do my tick tick every single day, but I won't do all my tasks. I'll screw up. I know I will, but try tick tick.
I feel like a little kid when you say tick, tick, like you just want to giggle, right? So something that made me think about this is the Inspire Tracker. For those of you that are thinking, hey, what's one little micro habit that I can do? What if it's just printing the Inspire Tracker and doing one thing on there? Not all of them, not trying to get 30 points a day. What if it's just doing one thing on the tracker consistently between now and the end of the year? There's a whole page of them. You get to choose. Nobody's going to tell you what to do. What if you just did one thing? I think that would change your business. Telly, what's one micro habit that you were implementing or have implemented?
Well, you
basically caught me when I was trying to actually work on doing one of them right now.
Telly's multitasking. Be present, Telly, yeah. Be present.
I am, I swear, thank you. But the biggest one I implemented this year, there's a couple that I did for myself. One is since I actually, the beginning of this fall, I started waking up at 5:30. So that basically I'm up, I'm able, I'm refreshed, I'm ready to go. So when I come in here for the calls and everything, I'm already jumping and I'm already going. Other thing I did also that really helped out a lot was getting into something that I want to do for myself that really makes me feel great. And honestly, the big one was yoga. Getting into that was absolutely huge for just centering and helping myself. One of the big things that I am implementing, Dean, thank you for doing it earlier. My big goal next year is to basically sit down at the end of the day and just write down, okay, who did I put into my phone today? Who do I need to contact that I don't want them to slip through the cracks? What am I missing? So this way I'm able to follow up with them in the morning. So I know what are those calls I have to hit so that I can basically push my business forward. And the other thing is, it is the line up again. Also, who are the DTD2? Who are the things? Where do I need to be in order to make those things happen? And finally, the most important thing I really need to do is I need to have more accountability. So I need to find an accountability partner or an accountability group, so that I can, when I do lead generate, because my time is tight for my lead generation, so I have to be very purposeful from the 10 to 10:30 until 12:30, 1 o'clock, I'm able to do it, because I do have to grab my kids. I have to do things on a couple of days because my life is a lot different than it was earlier this year, but I'm a heck of a lot happier, but that's another story. But thank you, Leah, as always, appreciate it.
Love it, Telly. There's plenty of power hours and accountability within this group of 838 people. So I would encourage you to get on. We're going to go rapid fire because I want to get you all in as fast as we can. Jess, what's one micro habit?
Hey, Flynn. My micro habit is I am learning a new piece of AI.
Piece of AI. Yep. A new piece of AI for the rest of the year.
Yep.
I love it. And then she's going to teach us. Auntie Donna.
Good morning. So my habit is, and my new habit for this year and for next year is the same one from last year and the year before. So that's part of the consistency piece. It's getting up at 6 o'clock, getting on early birds, getting on this call, going into a calling session, power play session, and then dealing with business and whatever's going on for the rest of the day after 12:30. That has really incorporated just about everything we've talked about so far. And it's really kept me in good stead. Just get up. And you know what your morning's going to look like. Do it.
Perfect. All right, Cindy and Lee, we're going to have time for both of you. Sorry, Paul, at the end. And Tyler, put your thing in the chat or go back into the post that James made last night and share what that is. So, Cindy, what's your one habit?
Good morning, Leah. This summer, I read Miracle Morning, and so I changed my bedtime routine. So I don't eat after a certain time, limit screen time after a certain time. My routine has been exactly the same. And then my morning routine is the same as well. And that just helps energize me and get me focused for the day ahead.
Perfect. Lee, what is your habit?
Thank you, Leah. You're doing such a great job. You're a natural here. Mine is, and it's not consistent because I keep doing the 66-day tracker. It's just to clean my desk at night. I mean, it is a disaster and it always has been a disaster. And I'm working really hard to clean it. That's it. Just to clean my desk.
I love it. So here's what I want to leave you with. You do not need to rely on superhuman heroic effort or luck every single week. If you just take small micro actions, they become the energy that I think fuels extraordinary success. And I think people have shared today some of the things that you can take and run with. And so as James always says, you have your inspiration. Now go put in the one micro habit into place and get into perspiration. We'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you all for being here. Have a great day.
Leah, thank you so much. It was really good. Really good. Let's look at our habits. Let's do the right things. Let's get after the things we've got to get after to finish the year strong. Make Pivot Shift Ahead part of finishing that year strong. If you're not in the Facebook group, I encourage you to join. Just go to Facebook, search Pivot Shift Ahead. You'll find us. And then I'd love to connect with you online as well. JamesDshaw.com is where you can find everything we do. And then let's connect on Instagram at James D. Shaw. Thanks for being here. You got your inspiration. Go put in the perspiration. Bye.